Breaking news here on the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. The Tennessee Volunteers are officially moving on from former starting quarterback Nico Iamaliava in what has been a brewing headline over the last couple of days, not just in the college football world, but in the world of sports. This has taken the country by storm. Full disclosure, if you're listening to this show right now, you're going to want to listen to the whole thing, to everything that I have to say. Not because this hasn't been talked about enough. Trust me, it has. Everybody has kind of expressed their opinion on this, but this is coming from the perspective of someone who truly loves college football and truly cares about the betterment of the sport and how we got here. So let's go ahead and backtrack to how we got to the present day when NIL was officially introduced July 1st of 2021, where it allowed players, athletes to be compensated off their name, image, and likeness. And I think that most of us can agree. I'm not going to say all, because there are some out there who are against the athletes being paid. That is their opinion. That is certainly not mine. I am for athletes being able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. That was never the issue. I believe, and I'm sure you guys believe as well, the issue is not the making money part. The issue is that there are no guidelines, no rules, no barriers that were enforced by the NCAA surrounding NIL. This isn't the players' fault. And to be honest, the players have never had more rights than they do in today's current age of college athletics. This is not the players' fault. This is the NCAA's fault. And I'm going to get into the Nico news right now, but we just witnessed the first ever holdout in college football. The first ever. This happens all the time in the NFL. This happened last offseason with guys like Ja'Marr Chase. We see it all the time in the NFL. But this is the first time that it's ever happened in college football. So today, Vols head coach Josh Heupel announced to the team in their meetings before their spring game, the annual Orange and White game, that Nico was officially dismissed from the program and that he would no longer be on the team. Going back a couple of days to Thursday, when this was officially leaked by Pete Nakos from On3, he reported that Nico was in discussions surrounding his current contract with the University of Tennessee Inspire Sports, and that these contract negotiations, he didn't have any idea if this would affect him entering the spring portal or not. So that's basically what was reported on Thursday. Friday, I believe it was early on Friday, which would have been yesterday, Nico's dad comes out on social media and says that, basically sounding off on not just Pete Nakos. I mean, he trashed Pete Nakos. He called him things that I'm not necessarily going to repeat on the air for you. But he trashed Pete Nakos. He trashed the media and said basically that Nico had no idea that any of these contract negotiations were going on. Make of that what you will. But when we all found out yesterday that Nico was a no-show at practice, it's kind of like, okay, let's go ahead and put our context clues together. I think for clarity purposes, Josh Heupel and Nico Iamaliava had a fantastic relationship. You ask anybody who covers college football, you ask anybody that covers University of Tennessee football, and they'll tell you, Nico and Josh Heupel were two peas in a pod. They were really close. And the coaching staff had no idea that he was going to be missing practice on Friday. It's one thing if, let's say, you have an incident come up and, like, you call the coaches, you text the coaches, You go into their office and say, hey, this came up. I will not be there tomorrow. That's one thing. But the coaching staff didn't know. So he was no-show at practice on Friday. To go from being buddy-buddy with a coach to ghosting them and not responding to their texts, not responding to their calls, that's beyond strange. Now, Nico eventually ended up texting offensive coordinator Joey Halsley that he would be filing the paperwork to enter the spring portal window. But this whole thing is just so strange. And now we find ourselves here today. I remember a day and age of college football where rising sophomores did not have contract negotiations. Heck, I mean, a lot of us are old enough to remember a day and age when players weren't getting paid at all. There were no contract negotiations. And I told you at the beginning of this show that I am all for the players getting paid. That's what I'm for. But when you don't have rules, when you don't have guidelines surrounding it, that's when things get murky. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But we find ourselves here today because the whole thing is just ridiculous. And it's not ridiculous for the University of Tennessee. The University of Tennessee, I believe, did the right thing. And most of you would agree with me on that. I'd say there's a very small portion of people who probably disagree with me on that. So I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here. But what does this say about Nico Iamaliava? What does this say about Nico Iamaliava? Tennessee was ahead of the curve in NIL. When Nico was coming out of high school in California, they took a chance on a 5-star prospect by giving him an $8 million deal. That's the original number that was reported. And if you know anything about this Tennessee fan base, they are one of the most loyal fan bases in the entire country. Now, sometimes they can be loyal to a fault, but overall, they are one of the most loyal. They're loyal to the players. They're loyal to every one of the teams there. The University of Tennessee has one of the most loyal fan bases in the entire country, and I have full confidence saying that. But with the loyalty, they expect that in return. So they took in this kid, Nico Iamaliava, and treated him as one of their own. Guy from the West Coast, coming to school in the South, the Southeastern Conference, the SEC. They took him in as one of their own. I remember seeing a video on Twitter. This was before Nico had officially committed to Tennessee. But he went to a basketball game, and he was there on a recruiting visit. And I remember the crowd during one of the timeout breaks. The crowd started standing up and chanting, Nico, Nico, Nico. That's the kind of support they show for a guy like this. Because he was supposed to be the future. He was supposed to be the future of this football team. 5-star quarterback coming in whose talent potential through the roof. This was the future of the program. And to use the spring portal window as leverage to ask to make more money, he was set to earn $2.4 million this year. But he was asking, and his agents were asking, for $4 million. So what does Tennessee do? They put their foot in the ground, they draw the line in the sand and say, no, 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 no. That's not how this works. Now, Nico was a decent quarterback last year. Definitely was not trash. He wasn't bad by any means. He had 19 passing touchdowns. 11 of those touchdowns came against teams like Chattanooga, Kent State, and Vanderbilt. And he had 8 touchdowns in the rest of his games combined. So Nico was not elite by any stretch of the imagination last year. But there was hope that under a guy like Josh Heupel, who is a QB guru that Nico would develop into the five-star potential that he had coming out of high school. Now, we'll never know how that's going to play out at Tennessee. It may play out somewhere elsewhere, but it's not going to play out at Tennessee. So I want to give credit to the University of Tennessee for standing their ground, because let's say that they did saddle up and pay him $4 million. There's a lot wrong with that, and I'll get into the reasons why. The first reason being, you set a precedent that if a guy doesn't get his way, he can hold out, and he will eventually get his way. That's the precedent you set. And if Tennessee were to pay Nico, who's to say other players, not just on the University of Tennessee, but who's to say not other players in college football across the country wouldn't do the same thing? That's the first thing wrong with this. The second thing wrong with this is you got to remember that there are other players on the roster. There are other players in the quarterback room who are making NIL money. And with this new rev share, this $20.5 million salary cap, there's only so much money to go around. And not to mention, there are other athletes, there are other teams at the University of Tennessee. So by asking for more money, you would be taking away less money from other people. There's this saying at the University of Tennessee. There's in the locker room, they have a sign. It's a outline of the Tennessee state, and it's orange, and it says, "I will give my all for Tennessee." And as they're walking out of the locker room, everyone slaps that billboard as they walk out. And that's not just something that people in Knoxville say. That's something that they believe in with their heart, with their chest. I will give my all for Tennessee. And what this whole Nico situation is proving out to be was, it was a transactional relationship. Nico was in it for the money. He wasn't all in for Tennessee. He wasn't giving his all for Tennessee. Josh Heupel put his foot in the ground, and he actually had an awesome quote today before their spring game. He said, "No one, and I mean no one, is above the power T, myself included." That's what Josh Heupel said before the spring game. And he's absolutely right about it. Because when you commit to a team, when you commit to a program, when you commit to play football somewhere, it should not be about the money. And if you want more money, let's say Nico played Heisman caliber football last year. Let's say Tennessee made a deep run in the college football playoff. Maybe I could understand. But when you're the face of a team, when everybody's eyes are on you, the quarterback, and the quarterback position, I would say as a former quarterback, that the quarterback position is the hardest position to play in sports. And my coach in high school used to say, the quarterback always gets too much praise when things go well and too much blame when things go wrong. Everybody is looking at the quarterback, not just your teammates, not just the coaches, but nationally, the media. Everybody is looking at you. What do you think this message sends about your personality, about the type of person you are? What do you think the message is now that this whole thing has played out? And I think it's going to be rough for Nico. I think it's going to be really rough for Nico to find another place. I've talked about the importance of spring football and how much of an asset it is for a player. Because let's say you do decide to enter the transfer portal when the winter window opens up in December. Okay, you go find a place, you commit before the spring, you go throughout spring ball, and you play with the team. That spring window is instrumental. And I would even go as far to say it's vital. It is vital to your success in the upcoming season. Nico, when he finds another place to go to, will have missed out on the spring with that team, and that's going to be a detriment to his future going forward. It is going to be a detriment to his success moving forward, at least for this season. And also, too, not to mention the timing of it all, because a lot of these other programs already have their quarterbacks. There are very few spots open that are willing to take a quarterback. Now, there may be some shakeup when that spring portal window opens here soon, some quarterbacks may decide to hop in the portal and try to find another destination, and that may open up a spot for Nico. But as it stands right now, I wouldn't say there are a lot of takers, because a lot of those guys already have, a lot of these teams already have their quarterback, and Nico is not going to want to sit the bench again. He's going to want to play. So I think this is very detrimental for Nico Iamaliava and his success moving forward, at least for this season. And his reputation. I know for a fact Nico has dreams of playing in the NFL. But when the day comes around where Nico is an NFL prospect, you don't think these teams are going to look back on what just happened and have second thoughts? I'm not going to say that this was all Nico's thought process. I'm sure that there were some people in his ear. Now, I don't know who was in his ear. Could be his family, could be his agent, could be whomever. But whoever was in his ear is leading him completely astray, because this all could have been avoided. Every last bit of it could have been avoided. And it is sad to see. Both sides, I would say both sides lose out on this. Nico, 100%, is the loser in this. The University of Tennessee, I think, is going to benefit in the long run. Now, they may not have the same success that they would have had this upcoming season as if they still had Nico. But I'd say if Tennessee went 7-5 this year without Nico, given, you know, everything surrounding the program, I think Tennessee fans would take that. Now, we may have to check back with them in November. But as it stands right now, I think that they would be okay with that. But as far as the future of Tennessee football is concerned, right now they have two scholarship quarterbacks on roster. Jake Merklinger, who was a freshman last year, who was a borderline five-star recruit coming out of high school before last season. And they just got a five-star quarterback in George McIntyre. Jake Merklinger is the presumed starter. He doesn't have a lot of game experience, but what he does have is familiarity in the offense that he had learning under guys like Gaston Moore and Nico last year. And Josh Heupel runs a pretty complicated system, so as much time as you can have in the offense, I would say that would benefit you. Now, I think that Jake Merklinger has that advantage over a guy like George McIntyre, who just got to Knoxville in December. And as far as the future is concerned, Tennessee has the number one overall player in the country at quarterback coming in after the season in Faizion Brandon, a five-star out of North Carolina. And what do we know about Josh Heupel? He can develop quarterbacks. He took in a guy like Hendon Hooker, who could not win the starting job at Virginia Tech. He took him in and turned him into a Heisman hopeful. Josh Heupel can work with quarterbacks. So I'd say in the long term, in the aggregate, Tennessee is going to be just fine. Nico, I don't have confidence to say the same. But I think Tennessee will be just fine in the future. Now, you didn't really think I'd go this entire segment with letting the NCAA off the hook, because that's not what I'm about to do. I'd like to call them, and this isn't even me just talking to you all, the audience, anymore. This is me talking directly to the NCAA. Because let me set the record straight. The folks in the NCAA, the folks running college football right now, newsflash, they don't actually care about college football. They don't love college football. What they do love is making their pockets a little bit deeper, because they're the ones benefiting from all of this. Guys like people listening to this show right now, guys like me, guys who love college football need to be running college football, not just guys who are in it for own selfish interests, for the greedy people, for those trying to make their pockets deeper, for those trying to soak every last cent out of the sport that they can. If you can tell, I'm getting a little animated right now. That's not because I'm just very passionate. I'm just very passionate about college football because I love it, and I don't want to see the overall product of college football be diminished. I gave an example on the last show of recruiting day and signing day. Do you remember how big National Signing Day used to be in February? Just fast forward to 10 years ago, it was like Christmas morning for college football fans. And now, I don't think any of you could tell me the day that signing day was on this year. That's because verbal commitments used to mean something 10 years ago than they do today. Because players flip and make their decisions based off of who's giving them the most money. It has lost its relevancy. And that's just a small example. I'm worried that over time, things like this, if we don't have collective bargaining agreements, if we don't have somebody running the sport who actually cares about it, that the overall product of college football will be diminished because of it. And I don't want to be the one to stand on the sidelines and just see the sport I love crumble. And that's why I don't know how. I don't know how somebody gets in a position of authority where they could become commissioner of college football. There are plenty of qualified people out there to be commissioner of college football. And I'm not even trying to promote myself to be the commissioner of college football. But what I am saying is one day I would absolutely, and that day may come sooner rather than later, but one day I would love to be in college football office. I'm not even saying that I need to be the commissioner, because I would say that that is very ambitious of me. But at least I want to be in the room when the decisions are made, because I'm not the only one. I know a bunch of you listening also love college football. But I want to be in the room when these decisions are made, because whoever's running the sport right now doesn't actually care. And there are a lot of you who care about college football, a lot of you. And this is diminishing the product of college football. And if it doesn't stop, I don't know what's going to happen. But it is unacceptable. I talked about the transfer portal and the chaos, how we're opening a window during the We're opening a transfer portal window before the playoffs even start, before seasons are even ended. That's like NFL opening up free agency during the playoffs. Or we saw it in March Madness. Tom Izzo was having to worry about recruiting guys out of the portal at Michigan State while they're preparing for Auburn. It is ridiculous. I talked about the transfer portal. And now you throw in the Wild Wild West and NIL. It is utterly ridiculous and needs to be stopped today. And again, I'm not against the players making money. I told you. There is a way for players to make money, but there still be rules in place to prevent things like this. What happened with Nico Iamaliava. There can be rules that keep everything regulated, but yet players are still able to profit. And there is a way for players to be able to transfer without hopping from school to school in the span of a calendar year. There are ways around it, but we need the right people in the room. Now, that was very passionate. I will admit, that was very passionate. But I can't stand to see the sport that I love go through things like this. I can't stand it. When this news about Nico Iamaliava first came out, it literally made my stomach turn. It's got to stop. So that is my full reaction to everything that has gone on with Nico Iamaliava in Tennessee. And I wanted to call out the NCAA for letting this happen, because the adults in the room are the ones that made the mess, and now it needs to be fixed. I appreciate everybody that listened today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to The Game Nashville, where you can catch every episode of The Air Raid with Parker Kelly. You can also catch a lot of the podcast that some of my former coworkers here at ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game are doing. Lots of great content is being put out on the regular. I will definitely have another show for you soon. But again, I appreciate you listening. And if you haven't already, please follow me on the socials at Parker_Kelly10. I am at Twitter and I'm on Instagram as well. And yeah, just continue to stay locked in to the Air Raid with Parker Kelly as we are pumping out content, and we'll have more coming for you soon. But I appreciate everyone that has listening. And just remember, guys, that college football despite its issues, is still the greatest sport in the world. And despite how bleak things look at times, there's always a way up. But it starts with good people making good decisions for the betterment of the sport.